Did you know that studies have shown affirmations can profoundly influence your psychological well-being, enhancing self-confidence and reducing anxiety? Here at Positive Birth Australia, we have crafted a 20-minute birth affirmations track filled with soulful, carefully curated affirmations to empower, inspire, and guide you to deeply remember the power you hold within. And to my fellow belly birth mothers, we have created a track specifically for you to honor that all birth is a sacred moment of profound significance. For only $5, you can download and immerse yourself in our affirmations track to transform your mindset in the lead up to birth and during labor, serving as a potent reminder of the inherent power and love you possess. Visit us at www.positivebirthaustralia.com or head to the show notes and follow the link provided to start your journey toward a more empowered birth experience. Here at Positive Birth Australia, we respectfully acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we live and work, the Turrbal and Jagera Nations. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognize their enduring connection to this country. As we share stories, may we do so with respect and a commitment to learning from the wisdom of the land and its custodians. Welcome to Positive Birth Australia, a podcast created to empower and educate mothers through the power of storytelling. Each week, I'll share insightful and inspiring birth stories along with advice from leading birth experts, all in the hopes to help you create your own positive birth experience. I'm your host, Sky Waters. Let's dive into today's show. Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode features Mia, a jewelry creator and first-time mother, sharing her unexpected journey to motherhood. When Mia met her partner, they both agreed that they weren't ready to have children at that time. However, 6 years later, Mia began to feel a deep longing to become a mother. She sensed the spirit of a little girl around her and knew that a daughter was waiting to be conceived. After a spontaneous night of intimacy without contraception and a difficult discussion about their readiness for children, Mia took the morning after pill. Living a holistic lifestyle, she initially attributed her oncoming symptoms to ingesting something foreign. However, when her cycle didn't arrive on the full moon as predicted, she decided to take a pregnancy test. The shock of a positive result stirred a whirlwind of emotions for Mia and her partner. However, they quickly embraced the joy and excitement of knowing that their baby was meant to be here, deepening their bond and anticipation for the journey ahead. Today, Mia shares her insights into home birth and how she knew it was the right place for her to birth her daughter, and the turbulence of discovering her baby was breech. She discusses her decision to undergo an ECV to maintain her birth plans, along with the challenges and learnings that came with it. Enjoy the episode. Mia, welcome to Positive Birth Australia. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sky.
To start off the episode, could you just let the listeners know a little bit about yourself?
So I live in Southwest Rocks in New South Wales. It's about 3.5 hours south of Byron. It's such a magic spot here. And we moved here a few years ago with my partner, Jack. We have a 3-year-old miniature schnauzer, Luna.
Oh, gorgeous. I love schnauzers.
That was our first baby.
Yeah.
She's adorable. And my partner, Jack, used to breed snakes. So we have a albino Darwin python, Mowgli.
Ooh, okay.
And we have a few other snakes as well. And then our nearly 7-month-old little baby girl,
beautiful.
Isla. Isla Pearl.
Oh, what a stunning name. Isla was actually one of our names, but we ended up going with Bella. Yeah.
Well, we loved Isabella, but I have a cousin, Isabella, so I thought, no, it can't go there. And we love Isla.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And was she planned?
No.
No?
She was not. She was a very lovely surprise. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is there's a big story to this. So my partner has two boys from a previous relationship. So when we met about 8 years ago, he said to me that he didn't want any more babies. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, at a point in my life where I just launched a second cafe. I was busy, 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 and I didn't know 100% whether I wanted children or not. Okay. I traveled overseas, did a bit of this, did a bit of that, and I sort of felt like you would get that real deep knowing when you were meant to be a mother. Mm-hmm. And I was nearly 30 and I still hadn't had what all of my friends and everyone sort of had spoken about.
Yeah, okay.
So when he said that to me, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm not sure whether I want children or not. So, you know, it was okay at that point. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I think, yes, 6 years later, I started to feel like that maybe I wanted to be a mum. And then it was actually 1 year before Isla was born, I had that thing that everyone spoke about. I had that real deep knowing that, okay, yeah, I do want to be a mum. And that happened like physically in my body. Mm-hmm. But I also had a reading after that feeling. And, you know, this is like the woo-woo part of things. Some people like it, some people don't. But this is my sort of story about it, that when I had a reading, I said to the woman, you know, I felt like there was this little girl spirit hanging around. And I sort of felt that energy and said to her, you know, I think I want to be a mom, and like sort of wanted to know if that was on the cards for me. And she sort of said, oh, you know, maybe you're feeling like your time's running out and, you know, your hormones have kicked in and, you know, you're sort of thinking, oh, shit, this is my last chance to have a baby. But I honestly didn't feel any of that. I was 36 at the time, and I didn't feel like I was too old to have a baby. It wasn't anything like that, but I really did feel her around. Mm. And so Jack and I had one little extra fun. and we, at that point in our relationship, we had spoken about having children. He still didn't want to have children, and I sort of mentioned to him that I did. So we were in that realm of our relationship and weren't really knowing if we were going to stay together, if we were going to separate, and we were just sort of feeling out, like, when I had that reading done, she sort of said, this isn't the time to make any like big decisions. So both Jack and myself, we just were just at peace with what we were navigating in that moment. And we were just sort of waiting for something to really cement in, whether it's like, okay, we're moving forward together or no, like this is our time and, you know, we'll come to an end. Mm. So when we had that little mishap, I actually went and got the morning after pill.
Okay.
Yes. So I had the morning after pill and I got my period. I'm not too sure how long after that, but that's what it does. It's a hormone. I think it's progesterone, and it brings on your cycle. So it did bring on my cycle. So I had thought it had worked, and I'm quite more of a natural person. I just take vitamins. I don't really take any synthetic anything. I try and have a clean household, yada, yada, yada. So I when I did take the pill, I wasn't happy about it. Mm. And so I started to get these symptoms after I had taken it. I had my period, so we thought, okay, we're fine. It, you know, it has worked. And so we went about our normal life, sort of forgot about it. But I kept feeling quite nauseous, and I just put it down to the fact that I had this pill that I probably shouldn't have put in my body, blah, blah, blah. And I've had some sensitivities to it. And, you know, and I was saying to Jack, oh, I knew I shouldn't have taken that pill. Now my hormones are all out. Like, I feel weird. You know, I feel nauseous. I don't feel well. Like, And he's saying to me, oh, you know, don't worry, like on the full moon, like your cycle will be like be back to normal, and like, you know, and your hormones will go back to normal, and you know, this is just, you just got to navigate this little time. And so anyway, waiting, and we had a holiday, went back up to Byron, where we had spent a couple of years living in Mullumbimby. So we went on this beautiful holiday, and I was seeing my auntie, and through the whole trip, you know, I was like, oh, I just feel sick. Like, I just feel like I'm going to be sick all the time, you know. And so we just go get, and I said, I feel better if I eat. So it's snacks in the car, and, you know, I'm just thinking, I just need to get this hormone like out of my body, and you know, time will just heal whatever is going on.
Yeah.
And then on the holiday, you know, I'm wearing a bikini, and I'm looking at Jack, and I'm like, oh, I'm still bloated, like, God, you know. And then I'm like, I'm gonna do a cleanse when I get home, like, what's going on? And so I bought all this vegetables and fruit to do a cleanse when I got home. And and anyway, so the full moon came, I didn't get my period, and I was still feeling like shit. And we were in the kitchen, and after we got home from the holiday, we had a great time away, sort of, you know, going down memory lane, and just, it was just a really lovely time away together. And he looked at me in the kitchen, and he said, do you think you should maybe go and get a test? And I just laughed, and I'm like, what, a pregnancy test? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, but let's go, like, just to get that out of your head, so you're not worried, like, let's go. You know, so off we trot down to the pharmacy and got a pregnancy test, came back, and I was 100% thinking, I'm not pregnant. Like, I've just had this, a reaction to this, the morning after pill. And so shock when there was one strong line and then one faint line, and Jack's there reading the back of the packet going, two lines means you're pregnant. And I'm like, what? And then, and I'm like, oh, no, no. I'm like, that's not really a line, that other one. Like, that's one line, but the other line's quite faint. Like, I don't think, you know, I don't think that's it. And he's like, babe, it says, even if it's the second line is faint, you're pregnant. And he goes, babe, he's like, babe, you're pregnant. Aww. Like, with a big smile on his face.
So he was excited.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, I dropped to the ground.
Oh,
no. Dropped to the ground. I just could not believe it. And I just think it was that, just an avalanche of emotions, like an avalanche of previous conversations we've had about having a family, the just everything, you know. And it was just like, because I just honestly did not think that I was pregnant, and didn't really think it was in my future, but was hoping it would be. So yeah, he was just patting my back, and I was crying, and yeah, I rang the doctor straight away, and I just needed to confirm. So I did another test, I peed on it a different way, trying to yield like a different result, like, you know, thinking, you know, I'll pee in a cup this time and I'll stick the stick in the cup and maybe that, you know, maybe that'll show a different result. But I said to the doctor, this is an emergency, like I really need to come in, like, you know. And so she squished me in. And we did a test with her. She said, look, the only way to really know is to do a blood test. And I said, look, you know, can we just do another test now? Like maybe your tests are, I don't know, let's just do another one. And so we did another one. And at the doctor's, it was two strong, strong lines. So like then it started to feel like it was actually real for me. And, you know, and then it was just a whirlwind after that. You know, it was quick ultrasound, and so we did the dating scan, and I was 8 weeks when we found out, and then it was just like it was crazy after that. So
you did take the morning after pill. Did you ask your doctor if that affects the baby at all?
Yeah, so I did ask that, and she said no, it's no. just Yeah, it's just progesterone.
Oh,
so I think it's a hormone, and then sort of just tricks your body into bringing on your cycle, so nothing can implant in.
Yeah, okay. I mean, the fact that you took it and it didn't work just shows how much she needed to be here.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think that's why it was a lot easier for my partner to accept, was because like this is actually a miracle, like she's meant to be here, and so that this is what is meant for us. Like we were sort of in limbo, we didn't know what was going on, and then this happened and we're like, this is our path, this is this little baby is a miracle, and she's, you know, come for us. And I, you know, deep down knew that it was a little girl. Obviously it's great to get confirmation, and we did do that. It was a real relief, 'cause Jack's got two boys, so I was always hypersensitive to the boys as well. And, you know, I thought, oh, if we have a little boy, then, you know, they might feel left out and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So, you know, a little girl is like, oh, now they've got a little sister. And it just sort of felt like it was meant for us.
Yeah.
And I suppose it gave me confidence in trusting my intuition and trusting those feelings that as women we all get and sometimes we ignore, you know. But it was like having that proof was like, this is right. Mm-hmm. And you know what's going on.
Yeah, love that. So how was your pregnancy with her?
So the first, I felt like the first trimester, because I didn't know for 8 weeks, that was the hardest.
Okay.
But I sort of skipped part of that, which was great, because I really didn't know how shit you feel the first trimester.
Totally.
No one really explains that. And all my girlfriends have had babies. So, and I was overseas at the time. Working, so I never really was around when my friends were having babies, and because it wasn't really on the cards for me, I never really researched much. I never had a major interest in it, if that makes sense. So you know, when I found out and had confirmation that she was here, I was like, right, okay, I need to educate myself, I need to take care of this baby. So I just straight away called a naturopath, started to get on the vitamins straight away, got the blood tests done, and just really tried to nourish my body and prepare for this baby.
Yeah. And what about your perception of birth at that point? Did you have any fear associated with it?
No real fear, because I feel like I'm the last of my friends to have children. I got to hear some of their stories, and I was lucky enough to have a few friends have home births and hospital births. So I sort of got a bit of a broad spectrum of, you know, real life stories and details of what went on, and because I'm like, I don't really have, I suppose, if I go and visit a doctor, I'll get, you know, your normal routine things that you need to get done, and that's it, you know, like a once a year checkup sort of thing. I don't really, I more go to like naturopaths or, you know, I more holistic approach to health and healing. So for me, there wasn't too much fear on birth. It was just the unknown, and that, you know, like you're going to have to do this and you don't know what that's going to look like, going to feel like, how long it's going to go for. You have no idea, but whatever it is, you're going to have to do it. And that really was my attitude with it. But because I was lucky enough to hear a lot of my friends' stories, I was already, I already knew that it was a home birth that I would feel most safe.
Yeah, awesome. And was your hubby on board with that as well?
Yeah, he was this. Yeah, he was the same. So Jack's, he was really supportive. He said, you know, whatever you want to do, you know, that he will get on board with. And, you know, because he had already had two babies, you know, he's a bit more relaxed with it. And he didn't have, they didn't have home births, but he believed in home births. And because of what I wanted and how I wanted it to be, he also thought that a home birth was the perfect scenario for us. Mm. I think when you let your family know that you are now pregnant, you know, you get all of their fears and just the protective nature, obviously, of their child, and they don't want anything to happen. So because I found out at 8 weeks, and because I also know that, you know, getting a midwife or somebody to support you at home is going to be quite tricky to navigate, not really on the Northern Rivers side, but we're like 3.5 hours south of Byron. And I think there's two women that actually look after this whole area from Coffs, nearly down to Port Macquarie.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just, there's just not that support here. So I knew that I really had to get onto getting a midwife or a birth keeper or whomever to, so that I could potentially have the opportunity to birth at home. And, but because of, you know, my family, I still went and had my hospital appointment so that they, you know, I think I went to, I think it was 20 weeks or something like that. I can't really remember. But the, you know, I went to the hospital at Kempsey, which is the closest hospital to us, just so that they had my, all my information, my blood type, and so that if I did need to transfer, it wasn't a shock, and, you know, that they had my information as well. But I didn't, all I did was I had my dating scan and then I had the 20-week scan. Mm-hmm. And then I chose not to do anything else through the medical system. And I found my... She's not a midwife. You're not allowed to call her a midwife. She was a midwife for 12 years and she deregistered herself.
Okay.
And then she went out on her own and she supports birthing mothers at home, but you can't call her a midwife, so it's like a birth keeper or something like that. But she has all of the skills that are necessary to support home birth. So I was lucky enough to find Sadie, and she's in Coffs Harbour. So once I found her, I knew that I was going to, well, potentially going to have a home birth, and just to keep everybody happy, and I suppose to just have that fallback and safety net of the hospital that they have all my information in case of a transfer.
Yeah, okay. And what about birth education or resources?
So, yeah, Sadie has the approach of that you don't need anything. Your body would just know what to do. You are built to birth, and you don't need to do anything. That's her attitude and philosophy. Me, on the other hand, I do like a little bit of information. And I had friends, you know, who had home births. So I had a beautiful friend, Anne Taylor, who recommended a couple of books. And I was going to do like a course, but then I didn't end up doing it. And because I worked, you know, one-on-one with Sadie, she'd come every few weeks. We just have conversations. And if she, you know, she would ask me like if I have any fear or if I want to know something, or we would just talk through everything.
Did any fears come up?
I did have a little fear that I was going to bleed out.
Yeah, okay.
But these fears, like that was one, and the other one was tearing. I think every woman fears tearing, you know. But the fears, they weren't enough to stop me from wanting a home birth, if that made sense. And I knew that it was just a noise in my head. So I just, you know, I wouldn't listen to it, and I would listen to your podcast, Sky, over and over and over again, because I make jewelry, so I work from home. So while I work, I just had Positive Birth Australia drumming into my mind over and over again. And I remember my partner came in like really, I think it was 38 weeks or something, and he's like, babe, I think you've listened to enough of those episodes now, so shouldn't you just like clear your mind, and you know, like whatever will be. And I'm like, no, they make me feel really good. I just need to keep hearing how amazing and how like magic birth is, and that you can do it, you know. And yeah, that I didn't do a course. I just honestly, I just kept listening to real life stories.
I love that.
But there was a little hiccup in my pregnancy. So at 36 weeks, so Sadie would come and feel my belly, and you know, baby was head down the whole time, and then at 36 weeks she flipped.
Okay.
And she became breech. So you know, I didn't do any research on breech births because I was like, I'm not going to manifest that. I'm like, no, you know, I'm going to have a natural birth. I'm not going to read about breech birth because that's not for me. And so, 36 weeks, it was a bit of a surprise. She had turned, and Sadie doesn't support breech births at home. The hospital at Kempsey doesn't support breech births. So it was a real scramble to try and spin her. So after sort of talking over with Sadie about it, she said, you know, you can get – there's a procedure called an ECV – and where they manually turn your baby back around so that you can have a vaginal birth. And so I started doing spinning babies at 36 weeks. At 37 weeks, I needed to, get a referral from the hospital. I needed to see an obstetrician and confirm that, you know, she was bum down. And then it was just a real tense time and a real scramble, and they fitted me in at Port Macquarie Hospital, and I did receive a ECV procedure, which was successful.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's like 1 in 3, I think, is the success rate. Mm. But yeah, it was, I'm not going to swear, but it was so painful. Okay. Yeah, when my partner was there, you know, he was watching me, and as soon as they, because I don't know if anyone is, I mean, I also, just putting it out there, some ECVs aren't painful, because I went on YouTube after I had mine, and there's some women that it did not hurt one single bit. So it's not to say that all ECVs are going to be painful, but that actually was my experience. And I think because I'm quite small, and I was 37 weeks when the procedure was done, and also after the birth, my placenta was really big. So I feel like just there was so much pressure, and she was just packed in there. So when they manually turned her, it just felt like it also, they also was trying to turn her anti-clockwise, and I knew that she would turn clockwise, and they were pushing her the opposite way, and I had to stop, and they actually gave me gas to help me, and I just, because I didn't want anything, and then I was sweating, my lip was trembling, I just burst into tears straight away. Like I couldn't even, I didn't, it just went from 0 to 1,000,000. And so when they said, you don't have to be a hero, they don't have to be a hero, I had like 10 people watching me, I would have just been tense. Because the other part of the story was that they suggest having a injection, which they with the nurses sort of put that forward as like a muscle relaxant, so that it'll give you the better odds of the ECV working. And so Jack, like, thank goodness Jack was there with me. So he quickly did the old Google to what the ingredient was in the injection, and it wasn't a muscle relaxant at all, and it also has the potential to cause neurological problems in your baby. Wow. Yeah, and so it was such an intense time, because there's doctors waiting to come in to do it, and then, you know, we're like, oh, can we just have a moment? And the hospital were actually really, really good. They said, take your time, no worries, you know, because imagine, you know, you're all of a sudden a doctor because you got Dr. Google. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they would get annoyed with that, but they didn't. They were so patient. They said, take your time, and Jack did some quick reading, because I didn't want to do any research on the ECV, because I really wanted to have a natural birth, and I didn't want to have a cesarean, and that was my option. If I couldn't turn her, I would have had to go into the hospital to have a cesarean.
Just curious, would you have considered free birth?
No, not at that point. I wasn't confident enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and also I knew that my midwife, you know, she wouldn't be happy. Well, not my midwife, my birth keeper. I'm not allowed to call her a midwife. But yeah, Sadie wouldn't be happy with that either.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a real stressful time. So I ended up saying no to the injection.
Awesome.
Which I'm so glad that I said no to it. But yeah, I did say yes to, I said, oh, if you put the gas on just a tiny little bit, and I honestly don't even think it did anything, but it just helped me with my breathing while they were turning her. And thank goodness it worked. Yeah, thank goodness it worked. That's all I have to say. Yeah, so the medical system are amazing for when you need them.
Yeah.
And they were definitely there for me for that. But, yeah, I think for emergencies they're amazing, and for things that you need help with. But I yeah, I deep down believe that majority of births don't need intervention and need that, you know, they don't need that hands-on approach. So I still chose to have her at home after she was head down. Mm. Yeah.
Awesome. And how were you after the ECV?
Yeah, so the next day I was just super tender to touch. It felt really, really bruised, and I had a couple of bruise marks, like where the doctors, they just dig their hands in and they sort of get like the thumb and index finger under the bum and thumb and index finger around the head, and then they turn at the same time, you know, hands parallel, and then they turn the baby. Mm. Yeah, it's it's such an intense, and it's amazing that they can even do that. And yeah, we were just lucky enough that it did work. And I think doing the spinning babies, even I did it for three times a day for a week prior to the ECV, because I was still hoping that I wouldn't have to have that procedure. Mm. But her bum had come out of my pelvis, so I felt like she was on the move. But because we were sort of time poor.
Yeah.
And we also thought she might come early because I was 3 weeks early and my brother was 6 weeks early with my mum. Mm-hmm. So we also, you know, I was already 37 weeks. So we thought we don't have time to just leave it to fate and just do the spinning babies on their own. I wanted to make sure that I could have her at home safely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after the ECV, she was head down and locked in. Even the doctors said you couldn't have got a more perfect position. She is not going anywhere. You know, and they say that because I didn't have the injection actually prevents labor, because when you're turning the baby, that's when you can bring on the labor. So the ECV, you have to sign a form saying that you know, like you might have to go and have an emergency cesarean if, you know, if something happens during that ECV procedure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the baby can get into distress or it can bring on labor, and then you could have the baby right there. And so that injection sort of prevents that preterm labor. It's not what they said it was, or what the nurses said it was. So I definitely suggest that, you know, if anyone ever had to have a procedure like that, to really make sure you ask the right questions. Because after we did speak to the actual doctor who was doing the procedure, she said to us that, look, you know, some hospitals don't even use this injection anymore, and it's not a muscle relaxant. You're right. You don't need it. Blah blah blah. So it was just it was actually a really great experience at the hospital. Okay. With the doctors, and felt like they were
on your side.
Yes, and just up to date with new information, not stuck in old ways. Mm. Yeah.
So how was the rest of your pregnancy?
Yeah, so all the rest of my pregnancy was amazing. I felt so good. I loved being pregnant. Loved watching my body just transform. I just think it's amazing, like what we do, that we grow these, you know, we grow these little babies, and our body just does everything that it needs to do without us needing to do anything. Mm. And so I just had a great time. I worked, I created so much jewelry. I was so happy in my little studio and could feel her kicking a lot and just feel her active. And I just felt like every time she moved, it was just like reassuring me that she's healthy and she's happy.
Yeah.
And then so the last part of my pregnancy, I never really got like Braxton Hicks and all of that sort of thing that people were talking about. So, you know, I was still 39 weeks plus, and, you know, I didn't really know what a contraction would feel like, and I was still, you know, I'm like, wow, I can't believe she's still in there, because, you know, my mom had such early births. And so we decided to I asked my dad and my stepmom to be at the birth. So they live 6 hours away in Queensland. So they didn't want to miss out. So they ended up coming, they came 10 days prior to me going into labor, because they thought it could happen at any time and we just want to be there. So we ended up going to Bellingen and we had a beautiful day out. And on that day, I felt like this is probably the last outing that I'm going to have. And I was 39 plus four. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, on the 18th of June, I woke up and I started like having these sort of pains in like my lower pelvis. And yeah, they were sort of sharp pains. And I was thinking, bloody hell, I hope this isn't it. Because I had experienced lightning crotch, and that really does live up to its name. So I was, you know, I thought, okay, it's not as bad as lightning crotch, but you know, I'm not really loving this feeling either. Mm. But it was sort of just a sharp pain, sort of felt like a stitch. And so that was, on the 18th, and then it kept coming, and there were just like little contractions. So that was, the 18th morning, and then I lost my mucus plug at 9:20. And I also was surprised, you know, I thought the mucus plug would be like this huge big thing, but it's not. Yeah. Like it was just a little, you know, yeah, just like a little bit, just from the other stories that, you know, that are told, and they're like, oh, I lost my mucus plug. And I, in my head, I'm like, wow, that must be big, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not, guys, it's only small. So I wasn't even sure if that was it. And I asked my partner, I'm like, is that? And he goes, yep, I think we're on here. So we just went about our day. We went for a big walk. I let my birth keeper know, you know, hey, I'm getting these feelings. I don't really know if it's it or not, you know. And she goes, oh, it's early days, you know, it could be it. So just, you know, keep in contact and just go about your day and blah, blah, blah. So I just did that. I just acted like normal, went for a big beach walk. And I thought, because I was ready to have her, you know, I thought, if this is happening, like, let's make it happen, like, not to, because they, you know, all of the wives' tales, you know, to have your baby, who knows what works and who doesn't. But I did go for a big walk just to keep motion and to keep things moving along.
Yeah.
And then by the afternoon, I was still having those pains, and I would call them pains because they weren't comfortable, and it was like a tightening, but then there was this sharpness to it. So I wasn't sure what it was. And I also asked my friend who had two home births, and she's a lot smaller than me. So I wanted her at the birth as well, just because I didn't know how it was going to go, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But if she's there and I can look at her and, you know, she's smaller than me, and I can say, if she can do it, I can do it. Mm. So my beautiful friend Randall came and supported me for the birth. So I let her know that day that I was having, you know, funny feelings. And by the afternoon, she said, oh, I've got a feeling, I'm just going to come down now. So she was 6 hours away. She arrived at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. And the those feelings were still there and still coming. But, you know, as you know, they could last for days and days. You just don't know when you're actually, when this baby is going to come. But by 11:30, that's when I think active labor started.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
How were you feeling?
I was excited. It's like excited and nervous, like all in one. You know, you're so ready to meet this baby, and but you just don't know what you are going to be going through to get her.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you will do whatever it takes to get that baby. So, yeah, it was a lot of emotions, but mostly excited and excited and nervous, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 11:30, I was in our ensuite with my partner, and this is winter time now. So I was just, leaning over the football and just sort of rocking and moving. And we've got a big house, so that's also why I chose I wanted to have her at home, because I thought, I don't know what my body's going to want during labor. I don't want to be confined to one room. I don't want to be confined to a time frame that I'm not dilating, you know, fast enough for, you know, for whomever. And so that's why, you know, I wanted to be at home, and I labored in the ensuite. I labored in the other bathroom. I labored in the lounge room. I just labored everywhere, all over the house, and which was beautiful. We had the fire going in the lounge room, and, you know, my dad and Lynn were here in the guest room. Jack was with me, and then my girlfriend Randall was here, and then I ended up getting Jack to, so the pains, like the sharp pains in my lower pelvis, they were coming like every 1 to 3 minutes, and sometimes it was lasting for like 70 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it's quite the marathon that you go through.
Yeah.
But by 1:30, I said to Jack, oh, maybe, you know, you should let Sadie know, you know, because I was handling everything, but I didn't know when it was going to be more intense, and like, and Sadie was an hour away from us. So Jack rang Sadie, and then I was on the phone to her, and, you know, she could tell like I wasn't close, but she's like, look, if you want me there, I'll come. And I said, oh, no rush, but I just want, you know, I want you to be aware of where I'm at. And so she arrived at 3 a.m. And then, you know, so 11:30 started to be active. So 3, Sadie arrived, and she came in, saw me, and she just, then she just went to the lounge room, had a cup of tea with my friend, and just let me do my thing. Mm,
awesome.
And then my dad and Lynn, I think I woke them up at 3:30, you know, with my vocals. And I came out to the lounge room, and I was just laboring around the fire, and Luna, my little dog, was by my side and just follow me around wherever I was. It started to get quite intense. So 10 to 5, I ended up getting in the shower, and then I just stayed in the shower on the football, just rolling around and trying to ease some of that discomfort. And I stayed in the shower until we ran out of hot water. And then I came out, and, you know, it's light. So we had curtains, you know, to keep everything quite dark, but I could see that, you know, it was morning, and there was this big flock of kookaburras that started to laugh at about 5:45. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe we're the next morning. And, you know, my waters still hadn't broken. So by that time, I had no idea how long I was going to keep going through labor for.
Right.
Yeah, I felt pressure and, you know, I was laboring a lot actually on the toilet. So that seemed to make my contractions strong. You know, like they would really intensify when I would sit on the toilet. So I spent a lot of time in the bathroom. And, you know, because I'm a first-time mum, you know, I didn't know whereabouts I was at. I felt pressure. But, yeah, I felt a lot of pressure in my bum. And, you know, Sadie said to me while I was in the bathroom, you know, have a feel. Can you feel anything? And I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel a head. I couldn't feel anything. And you know, I said to her in that moment, like, I'm ready for her to come now. And I think that was like a transition for me. Like, because I didn't have that, you know, transition of like, I can't do this. But I also think because I'm Aries and I'm an Aries stubborn too. That, oh, yeah, baby, of course you are.
I feel you on that.
You know, that, yeah, we're strong and we will just do it. We will just get through that. And so I didn't have that crisis of confidence that I couldn't do it. I knew that I could. But I was just, I remember looking at Sadie and just saying, I'm ready for her to come now. You know, like I was getting tired and I was, it was enough. But because I couldn't feel anything, I thought also, oh my gosh, how much longer am I going to be like doing this for? And then Sadie said to Jack to start filling the birth pool about 45 minutes after that. So when she said to Jack to start filling the pool, then it gave me also a bit more hope that, okay, I'm nearly there. So I got in the birth pool at 7:10 and then things slowed down. So Randall and Sadie both said to me, I think, babe, you need to get out of the pool. You need to, you know, get back up. And I knew what they meant. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go back onto the toilet, you know, where I was like really roaring her. And I could feel like I felt like I really needed to use my voice to get her down. So I went back into the bathroom and, it, you know, so it was an hour in the pool, then went back into the bathroom and was just working on getting her down. And I just, yeah, had to just face it and just, yeah, just really lean into those contractions and really use each one to try and get her down. Sadie said I could get back into the pool at around 9:30, and that's when my contractions were 2 minutes apart. And then about 10:10, Sadie said to me that that's when I started pushing. So the whole time throughout the labor, I didn't feel like I pushed. I just felt like my body was contracting and I could feel the tightening. I could feel, you know, her coming down, but I didn't feel like I was actually pushing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So at 9:50, I started pushing. Then her head, or it wasn't a head, it was like Sadie said to me, put your hand down and feel, have a feel. And I put my hand down and I felt a sack. So I felt like this little balloon coming out.
Mm.
And so I realized that she was still in her sack. So that's why my waters hadn't broken. She arrived at 11:24 and just with like the fetal ejection, just one sort of whoosh, like her head crowned, and I kept her there for quite some time. And because I could just feel that stretch, like that really intense feeling, and I just knew, I feel like your body just knows, like I just knew that I had to hold her there for a little while. So her head was crowning and I could feel this little balloon. I could, you know, it was all slimy, and I was like, oh my God, we're nearly there. And then just one other contraction, she just flung out, and as her shoulder was coming through, that's when the sac broke open. And then she arrived at 11:24. So I had, 12 hours of labor.
Yeah.
It was just, really, really special and just amazing. I'm blown away by women's bodies and what we can do. It's incredible.
Absolutely. So incredible. How beautiful. And what about your placenta?
The placenta was very big. Mm-hmm. So, it actually took 3 hours. So, and again, in a hospital setting, I would have been, poked and prodded. Sadie just said to me, look, let's get you up, because, after birth, we just stayed in the pool for ages and, no one touched her, no one did anything. I just had her in my arms and my partner was in the pool with me. And then, my dad kept filling up the pool with boiling water because it was starting to get cold because it was winter time. And so I had to obviously get out of the pool, and then I just needed to lie down. I was, really tired, and I wasn't really getting contractions for a little while. Then I started to get contractions for my placenta, and it just took a really, really long time. So Sadie asked me to get up off the couch and back into the bathroom, and she said, stand over, that we had like a colander over the toilet to catch the placenta, because I wanted to keep it. And so she just said, do you mind if I just pull on it just a little bit? And I said, yeah, okay. And then I felt her just pull just slightly on it, and then I was like, okay, whoa. And then out it came, and it was humongous.
Wow.
So I think that's why it just took so long. So 3 hours, and she was nearly, she did have the injection, and I was just taking lots of herbs, drinking lots of tonics to try and get it to come. And then we were potentially going to do the injection, and then she tugged on it a little bit and it came out, so I didn't need to do the injection, and it was just humongous. And that's why I was thinking, oh, that's why it took so long to come out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like a murder scene. My partner, everyone who was in the room, they sort of like Sadie, my partner Jack, and my dad was there trying to, because that the boys had to hold me up because I was so weak. And then when it came out, it was just the biggest relief and pressure gone. But they just took me away, so I didn't even get to see it. But Jack said that it just went splat in the colander, and just blood on the walls, horror film. Yeah, it was quite some sight. Apparently I missed it. I missed all of the action. I was back onto the couch, horizontal. It was a real relief when the placenta came out. And until then, it just felt like, oh, the dread of like the contractions coming back again, and just thinking, oh my God, I have to do this again, you know?
Yeah. Did you do anything special with your placenta?
I got it encapsulated.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so I did hear lots of stories and did my own research with it, and I thought it's not going to hurt. And either way, if it's a placebo or not, I'm still going to get the benefits of it. But obviously I have nothing to compare it to, but when I stopped the tablets, I felt a real lull. Like I had no energy.
Yeah.
And I didn't put two and two together until, you know, a week later when I thought, oh my God, I'm not taking my placenta tablets. That's why I feel so tired. Mm. So that was my experience with it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really great. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question, even though I feel like I know the answer. Do you feel like this is it for you guys, baby-wise?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we didn't plan for her, but I think that it's just a happy family now, you know. I think, and she is just the most beautiful thing in the world. So, I think one I can handle. I don't know how mothers do it. They're incredible, looking after multiple babies and multiple children. But I think just for that bit of ease, I think one is perfect for us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So to wrap up today's episode, what would be some key pieces of advice that you could share with any expecting mothers out there?
I think it's just, honestly, I feel like everyone's going to give you their opinion, including all family members, close friends. You know, you'll be listening to everyone's experience. And I think the main thing that you need to do is, you know, listen to the experiences and then really take the time to figure out what scenario will make you feel the safest while birthing your baby, and that you can birth your baby however you want, so that be active in that decision. You know, it's quite hard because people are so strapped for time, but I really think it's one thing that we should really invest in is education on birth. And that we have options, you know, and a home birth isn't for everyone and a hospital birth isn't for everyone, but that's why we have options. And it's your duty to work out where you're going to feel safest so that your body can do what it needs to do.
Yeah. I love that so much. Mia, it's been an absolute pleasure hearing your birth story today. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it with us.
Thank you, Sky. I just wanted to give back because I feel like your podcast really, really helped me. It was a major, major part in having a beautiful home birth for a first-time mum. So I hope that my story will help some other women out there too.
That brings us to the end of today's episode, a heartfelt story that marks a significant milestone in Mia and her family's journey. Please do yourself a favor and head over to Mia's Instagram page to see all the incredible, soulful pieces of jewelry she creates. I will also link her website in the show notes. And let me know what you thought of today's episode in the comment section on the PBA Instagram. You know, I love reading your input. If today's episode resonated with you, please share it with a friend or leave a review on your podcast platform. Your support helps us to reach more listeners and spread the love and inspiration. Thank you so much for tuning in. Join me next week for another episode of Positive Birth Australia.